Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to to 2 John. We're going to look at start a series actually out of 2 and 3 John. They're both one chapter long. Just a blessed portion of Scripture. I challenge you to be looking at it periodically over the next several weeks. Read through it. It only takes a few minutes. I mean, talk about a short amount of Scripture. We're going to talk about the Word of Truth tonight. Okay, you have it. It's found very towards the end of your Bible. They're very small books, but they're there. 1 and 2 John, the Word of God. They both start out, they're parallel. These two short epistles are so much parallel that I'm going to basically look at them together. Notice in 2 John, the very first verse in 2 John, it reads the following way. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. 3 John, the first verse, says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. The Apostle John is the author, human author of both of these. I understand they're both, all of Scripture is from God directly, but he used human authors to write them down. Our human author, John, loves the word truth. You know, in the Gospel of John, it starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the 14th verse, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. And what is the glory of? The Son of God, of grace and truth. Okay, he has grace and truth. He ties it in there, talking about Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, and you recognize the close simile of the word grace and love. And here we have his other two of his other epistles. He starts off with this thought of truth, very significantly tied with love. Some Christians emphasize love at the expense of truth, and that's clearly happening in our culture. They emphasize love. The fact is, it is one of the characteristics of the charismatic movement. You just love them anyway. And there is an element of that, which is a true statement, but you have to be really careful, because Scripture never gets them out of balance. It's always careful to keep it in balance. If you have love at the expense of truth, you really have no boundaries. If you have truth at the expense of love, you can end up with a legalism that is very hurtful and very painful. And what God intends, what John was trying to communicate, is the close connection of the two. When Jesus, right before he was crucified, was being cross-examined by Pilate, look at what he says. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. That's his important words to this man. I came here to bear witness of the truth. Well, what is this truth? And he goes on, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, Pilate very wisely asked an important question, the very same question we're going to talk about tonight. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. What does truth mean? That is a great question, and there are a lot of ways you could start to go about answering that question, but I prefer to use the Word of God to define truth. And specifically, my hermeneutic says that we want to look, first of all, at how the author himself uses it, and then we move out from there. And I want us tonight to just contemplate, what is truth? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning was God. No, talking about the Word, but then in the 14th verse, it said, the Word became flesh, talking about Jesus Christ now, and dwelt among us, talking about his earthly incarnation, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And what is he full of? Grace and truth. John chapter 14, same author, a little bit later in the Gospel of John, he records Jesus saying this about truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This truth is not a cold academic thought. This is the incarnation of Christ himself. And this truth is there to connect lost, dying sinners who are all like sheep, have lost their way, and the truth comes in to redirect us to the way to the Father. It is through truth. It is through Jesus Christ. Ephesians, now we're leaving Apostle John and we're going to Apostle Paul, said, if indeed you have heard him, you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is literally in Jesus. He says, he describes himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And now Apostle Paul says the truth is in him. Beautiful truth. This is it's really something I have truly enjoyed meditating on these thoughts. Jesus Christ is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. When he introduces the elder, referring to John himself, introduces it to the lady, which is referring to no doubt the church, and those members of the church, the children, and to Gaius, he is talking about, now it is important for you to recognize the connection of love and truth. John chapter 17, back to the Apostle John now, in the Gospel of John, in verse 17, he takes a different approach. Sanctify them by your truth, because of what? Your word is truth, referring to the Word of God, our Bible that we have. The word is truth. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, says the same thing. Now, he had said it the other way, truth is in Jesus, and now it said this. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the word of truth. It is the Bible. It is the scripture is truth. And that is such a blessing to us. And we need to be very, very mindful of this, because there is much going on in our culture in the name of Christianity that literally takes very lightly the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, again Paul, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. What are we supposed to be doing? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly getting into the Bible and understanding it in its proper context, its proper meaning. All of us are to be putting energy into learning the Word, understanding the Word, and understanding the principles so that we, in fact, will be different individuals, transformed by the power of the Word. It goes on in Colossians 1:5 to say, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in what? The Word of truth of the Gospel. The word of truth. James chapter 1. Now we have a different apostle. James chapter 1 verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by what? The word of truth. that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. What is directing us in this direction? It is, one, we learned first that Jesus Christ said he is the way, he is the truth. And then in other scripture, we see that the word of God is truth. And again, it happens to be directing us so that we would have this transforming life that is found only in coming to a real relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not talking about dead academia here. We are talking about a vibrant experience with Jesus. Look at what Psalms 119, verse 60. Psalms 119 talks about the word over and over and over from different perspectives. The entirety of your word is truth. Now, when you see this word, how much of the Bible do you think is truth? Well, remember that, because you need to remember that. You need to, tonight, engage that reality and hold on to it forever. Because there are many people in the name of Christ that are proclaiming a different message. There's in many seminaries, in many Bible colleges, in many churches that are very well populated, they're saying that truth is found in the Bible. But Scripture says the Word in its entirety is truth. You see how much more powerful the second is? The real message? The Word of God is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth, and the Word of God is truth. But that's not the only way Scripture defines truth. Those are two very, very important, but there's a third one. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 5. Now, this is the same apostle that's writing 2 John and 3 John. But in 1 John, he says this about it. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness. Why? Because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit of God is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth. The Spirit of God is truth. Gospel of John, same author, chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth. Literally, the Spirit and its definition of what Spirit? It's the Spirit of truth. And you'll see why it's important to differentiate what Spirit it is. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. I connect that with Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, who, by the way, we ought to preach and warn every man that we might present them perfect in Christ Jesus. Gospel John, a chapter later, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Once again, the Spirit of truth, which, by the way, do you see the direct connection with God the Father? Because where does the Spirit of truth proceed from? From the Father. And what does he give testimony of? God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Representing the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16, verse 13, same author. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. You see that? The Spirit of truth guides us into truth, For he will not speak of on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. They work in unison. The power of the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, who resides in us, to guide us, to lead us, direct us, to give us testimony that we are in fact genuinely one of his. It's an abstract that trying to explain it to an unsaved person, what does that look like? I have been absolutely lost with words. I have no way of explaining that. I've tried a couple different times. But I know that I know the Spirit of God resides in me. And I know talking to other believers, they can give testimony that life is different now. There's a testimony that the Spirit of God is present. And we're able to respond to life differently than it was before we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He lives within us. Notice this, however. Same author, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. In other words, there's going to be a confusion going on. But this we know, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. There is not only a Spirit of truth, but there is very definitely a Spirit of error. And that is prevalent in our culture today. A whole lot of mistruths, almost truths, that are not rooted in the Word of truth. They're not combined with the message. They're not in the message of the truth of Christ. And people are sadly getting confused. That is where I get so concerned with some of the movements that are referred to as Christianity that are all emotion. But you ever recognize that their lives aren't changed outside of the emotional services? They often live the same carnal way that they did before without any conscience of it. That's a testimony to me that they have bought into a counterfeit relationship and not the Spirit of truth, not the word, not based on the Word of truth, and it's not in the Son of truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. What does truth mean? The Apostle John, supported by the Apostle Paul and substantiated by the Apostle James, Jesus Christ is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth, which we in our culture have the benefit of having ready access to the Word. We can read it, we can hear it, we can have all sorts of opportunities to hear it preached, presented. We live in such a blessed time. And by the way, without any fear of reprisal, we're free to do this. Many, 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 many parts of the world, a person can lose his life for just having a half a page of Scripture in his pocket. The Holy Spirit is truth, which as believers, we have the privilege of having it the Spirit reside in us. Be careful. Why? Because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. In other words, there's inconsistency here. When they don't hold to the Word of truth, and by the way, when you see the truth, you recognize you could, in all appropriateness of hermeneutics, substitute the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, substitute the thought of the Word of God, substitute the thought of the Spirit of truth. So you could say, I've written unto you because you do not know the Word of truth, the Lord Jesus of truth, the Spirit of truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. 1 John 4, 1 through 3 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard from was coming and is now already in the world. There is an evil spirit. There is a false spirit. There is an Antichrist spirit. And you know what? It's rampant today. It's in thoughts, anti-Semitism, where they're turning. Our culture, do you recognize our culture so paralleling what happened before World War II? Where a body of people who profess to be believers are progressively being persuaded to turn their back on the Jewish people. Yet we know all the way back in Genesis that God says, the people that are with you, I will bless. The people that are against you, he's speaking to the Jewish people, I will curse. Which side do you think you really want to be on if you're a believer of the entirety of the word of truth? I say, I want to stand with the Jewish people. Replace truth with these concepts. This concept, and what I'm saying, and we'll just read through this. The three concepts are what? The truth is what? It's the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. What is it? The Word of God is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. This is 1 John, the first four verses of the epistle we're just now beginning to study. The elder, referring to John, to the elect lady, referring to a particular church, and her children, whom I love in truth. He loves in truth. He loves in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves in the Word of God. He loves in the Spirit of God. And not only I, but I also, all those who have known the truth. What is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Because of the truth which abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God. As we receive commandments from the Father. I have two things. I wrote them on the bottom of your page just to think about as you go about the week. If God's word is truth, we've already proven that that's what Scripture says. The Spirit is truth. And no lie is of the truth, the whole entirety of the word. How would you respond to people who claim that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them something which turns out to be different from what is said in the Bible? Do you understand the problem with that? That's going on all over Christendom today. Oh, I've got a revelation from God. Well, tell me what it is. And it doesn't line up with this verse, doesn't line up with that verse. Oh, no, it's from God. I know it. It's from a spirit, but it's not from the Spirit of God if it does not line up with the Word of God. And we need to be careful because we're living in a culture where that is totally acceptable. But it's not acceptable. It might be acceptable in our culture, but it's not acceptable to our God because it's contrary to our God and to His Word. There are many churches whose ministers do not attempt to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can sinners be converted and Christians expect to grow in such churches? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. If you don't teach the word in its entirety, how would you expect them to learn how to live and respond biblically? It's inconsistent. It doesn't fit. Is it sufficient to teach, as some do, that the Bible only contains the truth? The answer is an emphatic no. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. We need to be in the Word. We need to not separate it from love, because you could see it's connected in such an integral way. But hold on to truth. Hold on to truth. We live in a day and age where truth has become some relative term. It's truth for me, and it's your truth, and it's that person's truth, and it's another group's truth, and they can all be different and not agree, and they all be truth? No, it doesn't work that way. In its entirety, Psalms 119, 160, God's word is truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just challenge all of our hearts to meditate on your beautiful word and on these thoughts about who you are and how you describe yourself and how dynamic and how powerful and how alive and how vibrant you are. To you be the glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our time together. We pray that you would challenge all of us to be bright beacons that reflect your glory to a lost and dying world. Help us to live faithfully, boldly, courageously for you. In Jesus' name, amen.